Morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. It's a big chunk of scripture, okay? So let's follow along. 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tent of meeting, and all the holy utensils which were in the tent, and the priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim made a covering over the Ark and its poles from above. But the poles were so long that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the Ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Oreb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came about when the priests came from the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have surely built thee a lofty house, a place for thy dwelling forever." And the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and fulfilled it with his hand, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel from Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now, it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you should not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you, he shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have set a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them from the hand of Egypt." Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee, thee in heaven or on earth beneath, who are keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to thy servants who walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant my father David, as thou promised him. Indeed, thou hast spoken with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, which thou hast promised him, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their walk to their way to walk before me as you have walked.' Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray thee, be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built. Yet you have regard for the prayer of your servant and to a supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today. That your eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, toward the place of which you have said, 'My name shall be there,' to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. And listen to the supplication of thy servant and your people Israel, and when they pray to this place, you hear in heaven, your dwelling place, hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before your altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, if they turn to you again and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you have given to their fathers. Well, the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin when you have afflicted them. Then hear, thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people, Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given thy people for an inheritance. If there is a famine in the land, and there is pestilence, or if there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, if their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and spreading his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you with all the days that they live in the land which you have given to our fathers. Also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, and they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm, and when he comes and prays towards this house, hear thou in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name to fear you, as do the people Israel, and that they have no, and they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the house which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause when they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin. And you are angry with them and dost deliver them to an enemy, they take them away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near. If they take thought in the land where they have been taken captive and repent and make supplication for you in the land of those who have taken them captive, saying, we have sinned and acted and have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly. If they return to you and in their heart and with their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive and pray to thee toward their land, which thou hast given to their fathers, a city which you have chosen and the house which I built for your name, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people and that who have sinned against you in all their transgressions, which they have transgressed against you, and make them objects of compassion before those who have taken them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, which you have brought forth from Egypt from the midst of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be opened to the supplication of your servant and to the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you have separated them from all the peoples of the earth as your inheritance, as you speak through Moses, your servant, when you bring our fathers forth from Egypt, O Lord God. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord and from kneeling on his knees with his hands and spread toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed from all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and all and his statutes and his ordinances which he commanded our fathers, that they may these words of mine, which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, because he offered the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fat of the peace offerings. For the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to hold the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings. So Solomon observed the feast at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God for 7 days and seven more days, even 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. Then they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David, his servant, and to Israel, his people. Amen. Ooh, that was long, man. Okay. So the ark of is now brought into the temple. So remember, it was a huge time. Interesting enough, the temple was actually already built 11 months before. And so everything was all ready to go, but why does Solomon wait almost a whole year until he finally dedicates the temple and brings in the Ark of the Covenant and all these other things that come in? Well, there's a really good reason why. Because 11 months later on is the next year, before then, but the next year is, guess what? It's the year of Jubilee. And so Solomon wanted to commemorate this very, very special time, as well as the time that he chooses, the 7th month, happens also to be the Feast of Tabernacles. So you remember the Feast of Tabernacles? It's also called the Feast of Booths or Sukkoth. And so what happens there is the Israelites are meant to remember their journeying in the wilderness. And so the reason why they call it Feast of Booths is because basically booths means tents. And so they were all went out in tents. So they were, imagine, all living in home and all comfortable and all these things. But the Israelites, Moses particularly, I mean, God through Moses wanted to remind people, remember where you came from. Sometimes, and like this is in Hong Kong too, right? Sometimes when we're in our nice apartments, and remember when you first came to Hong Kong and you lived in a 200-square-foot apartment, and you remember all that stuff, and now, you know, you're in a 1,500-square-foot apartment. And some of the troubles that you had earlier on, maybe not the troubles you have right now. Well maybe you're still in the 200-foot apartment and pray, and maybe God will do something, right? And so then that happens. And, you know, when we get more comfortable, what happens? We generally forget about God. That happens everywhere, okay? And so Moses says, every year at the Feast of Booths, you go out and live in the desert, you go out and live in tents, and basically remember where you came from. That's powerful. Remember where you came from. And so, I mean, really in essence, he inaugurated an annual camping trip for all the Israelites. But the camping trip was not just about, you know, like we go camping because we want to be in outdoors and, you know, this is like wilderness and frontier and you're tough and all this kind of stuff. This was just a reminder to them that, hey, remember where we came from. Remember, and that's what the Passover is about. They eat the bitter herbs, which really is the tears of all the Israelites that cried when they were in Egypt. They eat unleavened bread, which meant how quickly they had to leave Egypt. And so they couldn't even wait for the bread to leaven. And, you know, it's all this symbolic things, all to say, remember where you came from. And so Solomon particularly chooses this time to say, hey, remember where you came from. Now we're dwelling in the land of milk and honey. And now we're even having, you know, our own temple, that the house of the Lord, that never had happened before then. And so now we as a nation, we get this land, and God's given us land of milk and honey, and we get to build the house of the Lord. And I mean, this is huge for the people, but Solomon had to remind them where you came from. This is a great, I mean, I'm going to talk about the celebration in a little bit, but this is a great event, probably one of the greatest events for the people of Israel. But he chooses specifically to remind them, remember when we were slaves? Remember when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Why did they wander for 40 years? Because they didn't believe God. They didn't keep his commandments. They didn't honor the Lord as a result. And so they wandered. Remember what it was like? And so, you know, they spent a week out in the wilderness in these tents, remembering, eating, you know, bitter food and all this kinds of stuff. And so he specifically chooses his time. It was pretty, quite honestly, just looking at this, ingenious. Absolutely ingenious. Because they could have got really puffed up. Oh, man, this is, you know, we've arrived as a people. We're here now. And he says, no, remember where you came from. I think this is a good, good word for so many of us in our Christian life. And now we know a lot about the Bible. You know, I mean, you know, I've been meeting with a lot of people these days and a lot of pastors from outside the city, and, you know, just hanging out, and, you know, they're saying, oh, wow, you know, you've done a great work. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, praise God, you know, it's awesome. you know, built a church here, and then, you know, a couple of churches overseas, and, you know, and plans to do more and things like that. And you could very easily get a little big-headed, you know. It's like a little pat on your back. And, you know, thank goodness for quiet time, right, when you just spend that time with the Lord and God says, hey, son, remember where you came from. Remember when you were lost and alone in the darkness and I found you. And so don't get a big head, right? Just humble ourselves before the Lord. Remember, we were lost. I mean, totally lost in our sins. No purpose whatsoever in our life. And Jesus came down and he grabbed us. And he took us really out of the mire and the clay. And he set us on the rock. He set us on himself. Yeah, this is Psalm 40, if you're curious. And it's beautiful, isn't it? Remember. And so he tells these guys, remember. Remember where you came from. This is great. You know, and they're going to celebrate the feast. But thing is, the feast is so much more important and more glorious because they remember where they came from. You know what I mean? They totally remember where they came from. Now, the feast is great, but it wouldn't have been as great if they had forgotten where they came from. And so thus, you get the understanding of the joy that the people had. So that's what King Solomon does. It's the Feast of Tabernacles and the Year of Jubilee. So it's totally prophetic. So he waits 11 months for all this to happen. They bring the people, all of Israel is congregated, and they're, I mean, all over the whole land, all the chiefs, all the princes, you know, all the important people are there in Jerusalem. They bless this place, and guess what happens? Remember, this is so celebratory. In the Feast of Tabernacles, what happens is they built a tent of meeting for the Lord. And this happens once a year, and the glory of the Lord comes and fills the temple. And that's how they knew that the Lord had blessed. And so the glory of God would fill this place. And so now they come to this place, and it says in verse 10, 11, and they came about when the priest came from the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. And the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. And so in the midst of all this stuff, God basically comes down, and remember, his presence was always a sign of his approval. And his presence comes down and says, I approve of these festivities. I approve of these sacrifices. I have forgiven you of your sins. And then, so they're waiting. So the presence of God, the glory of God just fills. And so much so that these guys are, they just can't move. The priest could not stand to minister. Could be that they're probably slain in the spirit, you know, in this regard. And I mean, just the presence of the Lord, and so they're unable to fulfill their duties. And so now Solomon knows, okay, God showed up. Now we know we have his approval. And then he goes off into this crazy long prayer that we read for a while. And notice, remember one of the themes of 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. Remember, it's supposed to be actually 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th Kings throughout. But one of the themes was the invisible hand of God that orchestrates all events. Really the sovereignty of God that moves. And you can look at all these different things. When you're in captivity, repent. When there's famine, repent. When there's pestilence, repent. When your crops, you know, and all these different things that can happen to people. And he says the cure for that is repentance. The cure for this is really a clean heart before God and say, Lord, we're really sorry for what we've done. And so repentance becomes really the avenue by which God's blessings flow. It's really important for us to recognize this. Repentance. And see, it may not necessarily be because sometimes it's clearly God's pestilence, but other times it says there's really no reason why this is happening, but the response of the people is still to repent. And repent on behalf of our sin, repent on behalf of other sins, repent. And this the whole, you know, a heart of repentance all along. So he goes through this long prayer, and then he finishes with his benediction, which is his blessing. And he says, we'll just conclude in verse 60. Okay, I'm running out of time. And it says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. It sounds like the Shema. Remember Deuteronomy? It's very similar to that. And it says, and let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as it is this day. So the Lord is one. All the peoples, you know, the Lord is God. There's no one else but him. And now, let your heart therefore be complete, wholly devoted to the Lord our God, walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. That's really the sum up of all of these four books in this regard. Keep the commandments, you'll be blessed. Don't keep the commandments, you won't be blessed. In fact, bad things will happen to you in that regard. And then they get to the dedicated sacrifices. You have to realize, in pagan culture, if you sacrifice 100 animals, that was significant. There was actually a word for that. Now, if you sacrifice 1,000 animals, that was like crazy significant. There's actually a word for that. He sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Actually, most scholars say it was actually much more than that, because the passage before say they couldn't even number them. There was so many. And they even had to get different instruments at work, you know, because it couldn't hold all the sacrifices, you know, the burnt offerings and all these things that were there during this time. And so they observed the feast 7 days, and then they sent him home. The 8th day sent him home, and then they observed another 7 days throughout, particularly for the dedication of the temple. And it says, and what happens, it says at the end of this, then they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David his servant and to Israel his people. There was so much joy and celebration. A lot of these sacrifices and these festivals, it wasn't mandated by the law. It was just the response of the people in so much joy. They wanted to sacrifice. They wanted to give. They wanted to party, in essence. And so they had an incredible celebration here at this time. So let's close our eyes. Going back to what we talked about in the beginning, think about this. How fitting, I mean, how incredibly fitting for Solomon to wait for the opportune time. Remember where we came from. When we remember, you know what it does? It makes us more grateful. You know why we're not grateful? Because we don't remember. We're just so fixated on right now. Remember in Mark, he tells the man that was just healed, go back to your family. Go back to your village and tell them all that God has done for you. Remember all that God has done for you. And when that happens, gratitude flows. Then you can truly appreciate what you have now. Sometimes when I'm having difficulty with my wife, I remember when I was single and how I longed to be married. It makes me very grateful for my wife. Sometimes when my kids are driving me crazy, I remember before I had kids and I longed for children. It makes me grateful for the kids that I have right now. Passage in there says, God has always been faithful. This morning, let's just remember.
Thank you.
Let's continue to pray, and as we remember, let's thank the Lord. Let's offer prayers of gratitude. Lord, you brought us out of the pit. God, you led us, Lord. I remember when I was lost and alone in the darkness, and you found me. Even if you're going through a hard time right now, remember how God has been faithful to you in the past. Let that give you strength for today and for tomorrow. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family who are battling cancer and going through chemo, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for Jesus to reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's open door and for his provision. So let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and the ministry there. You know, in particular, if you can pray, one of the members at SPSG, she actually had a couple of different bouts of cancer, but she passed away this past Monday. And so they've been having the wake, and the funeral is tomorrow. And she was a very, very beloved member of the church. And she's actually, to be honest, quite a walking miracle herself. But let's just really pray. Pray for the community. I know a lot of them are in mourning right now. And she's a very close friend to a lot of people. And so if you can cover them during their funeral, the service is Friday. It's tomorrow. So let's just continue to pray for the community there. Let's also pray for SP Indonesia. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat. He especially wants us to pray for him today. Today and tomorrow, he has his oral defense. And so for his demon, that's some of you guys that don't know, that's a doctorate of ministry. That's not a demon, right? It's a D.MIN. And so if we could pray for him, he's got his oral exam today at 2 o'clock. And so let's cover him and cover the church. And let's pray. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP, for the well, and for the river. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers. And let's pray that people that come through these ministries, that they will be healed, they'll be helped, and they would really pray God's purposes. Let's pray for our education ministries, for Noah's Ark, for SP Youth and SPU. And let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and also pray for the students that they would really encounter the Lord. Let's pray for our outreaches today, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for our volunteers that go out, that they would really be a blessing. And every person they encounter, there will be something of the Spirit of God moving upon them. And lastly, let's pray for Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for House Church tonight, that there will just be a really incredible time of connecting with God and with each other. Pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the reminder, God, to remember, Lord. You've brought so many good things into our lives, God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no turning or shifting shadow. And we thank you that you are always faithful, God. Lord, and as we remember, help us also to be grateful, Lord. We thank you. We love you. Watch over us today as we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.